When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall not happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
The words of my mouth and the meditation for our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, my rock, my redeemer, and my salvation. Amen. In 1980s, I was studying in a school, and I don't know, I mean, now this is the age of technology and we all go through the exams through computers, but let me share my experience to go through the exams. How did I go through there? This was class 8. And class 8 is not internal exams. They usually taken by the government. So when the government take exams, they take you afar from your school. So they choose their venue to let us go through the exams. And I studied the whole year. And then they took us in examination center, and I was given a question paper, and there were 8 questions on my question papers, and there were instructions as well. So from first 7 questions, you can choose 4 of them and you can attempt it. And these 7 questions were about a one person, their lifestyle, their political career, their success stories. So these kind of 7 questions. And 4 of them I had to do it. And I did it. But the fifth question was the last one, the eighth one. And it was written, this is compulsory. So five questions I had to do it. But the last one was compulsory. And that question was, your opinion about this personality. What do you say about this person? So while I was reading the text, I was sitting in the same exams, honestly. So, Jesus is about to finish his ministry in the north and he's withdrawing to the south. And in this withdrawal, Jesus came to the Caesarea Philippi. Let me see, what is this examination center? There were two Caesareas. One was on the border of Mediterranean. This is mentioned in Acts 8:40. And the other was mentioned in Matthew 16:13. So there are three significances on this city. Number one, it was quite big, great city. And number two, it was full of idols. There were 14 idols placed there to worship. And Caesarea Philippi, they have different names. Throughout the history, this was given different names. But this was not fully Jews area, this was non-Jews area. And a bit silent where Jesus could ask questions to his disciples. If you read the whole passage, many Bibles title this passage, the Peter's confession, Jesus as a Christ. And of course, this is Peter's confession. But Jesus found a quiet place where he could ask the general question and specific question as well. So when I was studying in Cornhill, I was taught to make a three-point sermon. So it is good to make a three-point sermon. This is the verse 13 and 14. You will find the understanding of the people, the world, about Jesus. Verse 15 and 16 is Peter's understanding about Jesus. And 17 to 20 is Jesus' response to the right understanding about himself. To make it more easy, the verse 13 and 14 is a test. The verse 15, 16 is test is passed. And verses 17 to 20, you got the degree. You are rewarded. So let's see verse 13 and 14. What does it say? Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus is using the term Son of Man about himself to know what he is in the sight of the people. The Son of Man term is taken from Daniel 7. To show and to prove that Jesus is a fully man. He is fully man and fully God. So Jesus is asking disciples, so what the people think about himself? Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And response was, they said, some says, is John the Baptist, and maybe Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophet. Maybe these four responses of the people, this is disciples, the response to Jesus. There are some resemblance between Jesus and these personalities. Like John the Baptist, he preached repentance, and Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist was showing miracles. Jesus is doing miracles. So the people, they were thinking he might be a John the Baptist. Elijah was predicted to come as a forerunner. Elijah was given a very special place to the Jews. And Elijah was a prophet, great prophet. And they say it may be Elijah, because Elijah was also a great prophet like Jesus. Maybe Jeremiah. Why Jeremiah, when the Jerusalem was raided, Jeremiah took the ark and the altar of incense and hide somewhere. And it was believed Jeremiah may come again to restore the nation of Israel. So these three people are mentioned, but they can be Jesus. Jesus can be one of these, or maybe one of the prophets. This is what the worldview is today as well. The place I am from, Jesus is viewed as a prophet, or maybe miracle doers. But there is no right and proper understanding about Jesus. But Jesus is going to finish his ministry. He is coming down to south and Jerusalem to be crucified. He wants his disciple that they may understand him, what he is. And when Jesus got these answers, and Jesus continued for a specific questions, which is compulsory. But who do you say that I am? This is one of the great things Jesus wants us to understand about himself. Why do we read Bible? Why do we have sermons? To know Jesus more clearly, to love him more dearly, and to follow him more nearly. So So if we are not on that level, we are not understanding him. But Jesus wants to leave a legacy before he is going to be crucified, he's going to back to heaven. So Jesus wants his disciples to have a better insight about himself, who Jesus is. And the same question is on me and on all of us today. Because if we don't have proper and right understanding about Jesus, if he is Elijah, Elijah is not our Savior. If he is John the Baptist, he is the forerunner. If he is Jeremiah, he is one of the prophets. So Jesus wants us to know who he is. And this is our responsibility and this is our faith, who Jesus is. And Peter answered, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There are three versions about Jesus Christ in three different Gospels. If you see Matthew 16:16, which is very clear, "You are the Christ, the Son of living God." Mark 8:29, "You are the Christ." And Luke 9:20, "You are the Christ of God." Matthew is very clear, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this sentence make a very big comparison between between the gods of Caesarea Philippi and Jesus. The place is comparable. Jesus is trying to teach them. So we are right in the middle of the dead gods. And what do you believe? What do you say about myself? And Peter got a very good insight, good understanding. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of not dead God, living God." So the God of the Bible is living God. That's the understanding that Peter got. And whenever we got right understanding about Jesus, this is not by my own intellect. This is not by my own research. This is not by my own insight. This is always from heaven, by the Holy Spirit. If we want to understand and to have a clear concept, clear insight about Jesus, until and unless we are very much connected with the Holy Spirit and asking God, then we will have a better picture of Jesus Christ. He is not just a prophet. He is more than prophet. He is sacrificial lamb. He died for my sins. He rose again after third day. He rose again from the dead. He is Jesus, my Savior. He's more than Elijah. He's more than Jeremiah. He's more than John the Baptist. He's more than the prophets. The worldview about Jesus is not clear. And this is what Jesus wants us tonight, to understand him who he is. What is my personal understanding about Jesus? Do I have a personal interaction with him? Do I have a proper Bible reading from where I can understand the better insight about Jesus? Because to know the God of the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ, the Bible is the only source where from we can get this. So we need to continue reading the Bible for this good understanding. Sometime we honor God by giving him good positions. Like people, they are saying, oh, he's John the Baptist, he's Elijah, he's Jeremiah. So they are actually putting Jesus on a high place, because these people, they are well honored in Jews. But sometimes we are honoring God without right understanding. We honor him. Like Gnostics, they honor God. They say, oh, he is divine, but he is not human. This is Gnostics say. They honor God with wrong understanding. So sometimes we do honor God with wrong understanding. So if we have a proper right understanding about himself, then we can have a proper understanding of Jesus. Jesus wants to be understood his position theologically, who he is. He is the Son of Living God. He is the Son of Living God. So we need to understand the right theology about Jesus. So God sent his Son. He is the Son of Living God. Christianity never consists in knowing about Jesus. It always consists in knowing Jesus. The people, they know about Jesus. And Jesus wants us to know him, not about him. So we know him. We must know him if we are having right understanding about himself. What is Jesus' response when someone has right understanding about Jesus? What is his response? Peter got right understanding about Jesus, and he passed his theological statement. And when Jesus knew that Peter got it, then Jesus responded. And the response is not to only Peter, but response Jesus' response to us as well and to the church as well. So Peter, you are blessed. Why Peter is blessed? Because he got right understanding about Jesus. He knew that Jesus is the Son of Living God, the Christ, the Son of Living God. To believe Jesus as Messiah, the promised Messiah, to understand him is the right understanding. And Peter is blessed because he got the right understanding of Jesus. And I am well encouraged. If I have right understanding, and if we have right understanding of Jesus, we are blessed. We are blessed. And the word blessed is very important. Makarios is in the Greek and Baruch is in the Hebrew. Blessed means you are spiritually good and physically good as well. The word blessed is, you can find in Beatitudes, in Matthew 5. The same word is here. The one who got right understanding, he is blessed. And the blessed means you got spiritual blessings. And the spiritual blessing is faith in Christ. And not only spiritual blessing, but physical blessings as well. Believers can enjoy the physical blessings as well. So Peter, you are blessed. Yes, this is revealed by God the Father. And I tell you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now the blessing starts here. Peter, you are blessed. I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now the blessings are taking place now in the life of the person who got good understanding about Jesus. Not only we are blessed, this promises not only to Peter, but this promises to the church as well. So Jesus is going to build his church on this rock. The rock is Petros, Petra. There are different kind of interpretation these verses. I'm not going to go these complications, you know. And the church is established on the faithful people, the people who have understood Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of Living God. That's the main key verse here. So Jesus Christ is Messiah, the Son of Living God. The whole sermon is around this verse. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So these are the blessings given to Peter. Not only to Peter, but to every faithful person who understands Jesus as Messiah. Now the challenge tonight is, how big is my understanding about Jesus? How right and accurate understanding is my understanding is about Jesus? The promise is given to the church, not only to Peter. The faithful people They are blessed with all these promises. But the question is, how clear is my concept about Jesus? If I'm still thinking he is one of the prophets, so this text invites us to understand Jesus as Messiah, the Son of Living God. If we will have this clear, crystal clear understanding, the blessings and the promises are for us tonight. And verse 20 is usually Jesus uses to avoid early persecution and agitation before he goes to the cross and died. So he said, don't tell anybody because this is not my hour. So I'm just leaving this with a challenge. How big understanding, how clear understanding about Jesus, the Son of Living God. If we have right understanding, God has given, we are blessed and he has given a promise to us. Take this challenge and read your Bible to understand more and more about Jesus. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful text. When you teach us, you expect from us. And thank you, this passage is encouraging us to know Jesus more clearly, to love him more dearly, to follow him more nearly. Tonight we take this challenge to know him as Messiah, the Son of Living God, so we may be blessed and the church will be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.